Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all your smiling faces tonight. And how many of you, this is your first meeting here so far tonight? Just raise your hand. Okay, wow, many of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on, give all the visitors a big hand, will you? We appreciate you coming, and some of you came from afar. Where are you, Carol? I was just looking for you. Where's my friend Carol? There she is. There you guys are. Hey, how are you, brother? Hey, good to see you guys. I haven't seen you guys in a long time, so it's good to see you. We have some friends from, you guys are Manchester, right? Not Warsaw. Right, Manchester, right? Okay. So welcome, and all you visitors, pastors, good to meet you guys. My name is Tom Scarella. My wife Susie and I are evangelists from Florida. And we love ministering and stirring the church for revival, and especially in the area of divine healing. Just God's got a passion for it. If you never had ever read the Bible before in your life, if you cracked your Bible open and you just read the Gospels, the very first thing you would see jumping off the page is every page is about healing. And yet many churches all over the world, all over, especially all over America, all over Rochester, they say that part has passed away, that part's passed away. Well, then just throw the book away then. You tell them to give us a new book then, if it's all passed away. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I'll tell you what, none of it's passed away, because the Holy Ghost hasn't passed away. Right? He's still, how many of you know the Holy Ghost is still here? Praise the Lord. All right? So if he's still here, then it's still all able to be done. And so, but this week's going to be a little bit different, but tonight's going to be the most different of all, so I'm already asking your forgiveness, but kind of not at the same time. And God's going to stretch you. Is it okay to do something different in Rochester? Is that all right? So if it's okay to do something different, just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want something different tonight, all right? So you just tell him that. And so it's going to be good, but it's going to be different. But this week, as the week goes, now tomorrow night it'll be just totally different. I just felt like the Lord said to me, I want you to do more of a healing school this week. So I'm going to not only minister on the subject of healing the rest of the week, but also I'm going to train you how you can heal the sick. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I'm going to train you on that this week. And actually, I'm going to do two things right now. And then we'll queue up those videos up there. If you'd like, I already sent this around in church this morning. If you did not put your email on there and you want to get a free ebook, no strings attached, you can fill it out if you'd like, and you can put your email on there, and we'll send you a free ebook, and we just let you know the next time that we're in the area if you're interested in that, no pressure. Secondly, if I could get a couple people, one person on this side to help me, anyone that can help me, can you help me? Okay. If we run out, I've got more on my book table. Over on this side, can you help me, brother? I think there's enough for one per couple, okay? I think there's enough for one per couple. But we not only have a traveling ministry, but we also have a Bible school. Up until now, it has been a correspondence Bible school that you could take anytime you want. You could start anytime. And it's several different Bible classes that we put together. It's called Ministry Training Institute. And so if you're interested in that, that's our website for that part of the ministry. It's called ministrytraininginstitute.com. And but up until now, it has all been correspondence. And I'm here to tell you, you are the first church in the world that I'm telling this. Now it's video. So it's all video school. And not only is it video school, are you guys ready? It's all in 15-minute segments. You can watch it right on your cell phone. So you can literally go to Bible school at work during your lunch hour. How about that? So you could literally take a class, and it's all under $100 per class. I mean, you're never going to beat that, all right? So we have downloadable ebooks. We have downloadable videos if you want. So all of that's available. If you're interested in that, you can see the website. And you can have one of those cards. Hallelujah. I think that's all I was going to show you right now. Yeah. And then I want to show you two quick video clips. Girls up there, help me. I have two clips. I know I have the one, the little girl, and what's the other one? Oh, okay. I want to show you two video clips, and just so they can run them back to back. But I think this will really bless you. The first clip is, I shared about it this morning, about we ministered a year ago in Orlando. And a lady, it's a long story, but this lady brought her daughter who had severe scoliosis. Her spine went like this, and then it jutted way out. She was 9 years old, excruciating pain, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and she couldn't even carry a backpack, or her back would break. It was very, very serious. And so the mother brought her a year ago, and there were so many people in the meeting, I just literally lined everyone around the walls. I went and I prayed for the girl. You literally could hear her spine snapping and popping as it straightened out. And so then we just went back there a month ago, and then she gave me a testimony outside the church. So forgive me for the audio. It's just because we're outside of the church. It's kind of loud, the wind. The second one is when we were in South Africa last. I go there in 10 days. I'll be back in South Africa. And when we were there, a lady flew there from Tanzania. Okay, now you're an American. That doesn't mean anything. But to fly from Tanzania to South Africa is tantamount for you to go from Indianapolis Airport and fly to Los Angeles, fly to New York, and fly all the way back to Indianapolis. That's how far she flew to be healed. And this woman was dying with a kidney disease. And I didn't know this, just God spoke it to me prophetically. So I call this Tanzanian woman out. She comes down to the front. They have to hold her up. She has a 104-degree fever. She's just on fire. She couldn't walk. So they're holding her up. And then I pray for her at the end and watch what God does. So watch both those clips. You'll love them both. Be blessed.
4 years old, I fell on my back off of the couch backwards onto like a toolbox. And I went to the doctor. Well, I couldn't breathe. And I went to the doctor and they said I had scoliosis, which is like when my spine isn't completely straight. So like my spine was like this. It went straight, but then it like curved like this and went down. And so pretty much they said it would never be like... They can never, like, I'm like a 4-year-old and they tell me straight up, it's not going to be fixed, it's never. So like, I was never allowed to, like, have, like, an actual backpack. I would always have a rolling one. I wasn't allowed to go up the stairs. And thank God that I could still walk. But then, last year, my mom had told me that there was, like, I had been to other people that tried praying over me, but, like, still, like, I was losing hope that I would never be healed, because they told me straight up that I wasn't going to be healed. So, but then last year, my mom told me that you were going to come, and I was like, that's worth a shot. And so when I came...
Tell me what happened.
Tell her. 2 years I've been having scoliosis, and last week I was crying like crazy, and my mom was going to take me to a specialist and doctors because they said there was no cure. But when this guy touched me, I was healed.
Jesus is so good.
Amen. Oh,
what did it feel like?
Did the pain go away? It was all gone, and I could bend my back like I never did before.
That's awesome.
At first, when you prayed over me, I was like, I felt kind of like weird, like I still felt like my back was hurting, but like afterwards when you healed my mom and then she healed me and you went to the next person, I almost fell backwards again.
Yeah.
I was like so like in the trance that like I almost fell. But then I just started crying out saying to my mom, I almost fell. But then I go backwards and I used to have the monitor phone right here.
Yeah.
Showed where my spine was curved.
Yeah.
I went back and there was nothing there. There was nothing there. I was like, wait. And I'm like in tears right now. I'm just like, I think I got healed.
Wow.
And then what I did was, I sat down, but then I feel something going through my back, like just like there's nothing there. It's just like my spine is completely healed. And so what I did was I was like, is my spine really healed? I do a back bend. Like I never could do that because I could actually go from my back. I did that, so I did a back bend, and I was healed.
Wow! Can you do it real quick? Do a back bend.
I can't do it that much because of the context that I don't want to hurt myself. But
right. No way.
No pain anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I feel better with something on the race.
Right.
Hi, my name is Alina, and I'm so excited because the Holy Spirit healed my daughter Kelly of her back. She was suffering of her back. She was doing ballet, and then she had to stop the classes and everything because she couldn't even carry her backpack to school because she had pain in her back. She couldn't do certain movement. And that day, she got healed completely. It was a miracle. I was standing behind her, and I felt the heat of the Holy Spirit come upon me. And she was in tears and said, "Mom, I'm healed." And it was a miracle. She was, since a little girl, they told her that she was going to have to live like that for the rest of her life. And so we're excited because she is healed now. She does all kinds of different movement that she couldn't do before. So the Holy Spirit did a miracle in her, and not only in her, but in me. In my hand, I had a big cyst here in my right hand. And I went to the doctor. They said that they had to operate, and if they would, that I had chances that my hand was going to be paralyzed. And I'm like, oh, no, I will not do the surgery. And then when I came and I was standing behind my daughter, Kelly, and I felt the heat of the Holy Spirit, I didn't know that the cyst disappeared. It was a big ball right here, and now it's gone. I have no cyst. The Holy Spirit healed me, and yay!
Woo-hoo-hoo! Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. Okay, don't turn the lights on yet. We'll do the second video. This next one's in South Africa. And so enjoy this. This will bless you.
I saw a woman that you have a kidney disorder. You have a kidney disorder. It's like your kidneys don't function right, and God wants to heal you of that tonight. So I want you to come as well, if that's in your kidney. And lastly, somebody else. I saw that your eyes, that you have terrible pain behind your eyes. It's like a migraine, but it's right behind your eyes. And the pressure is just overwhelming. And God wants to heal you tonight. If that's you, come quickly. The heart. The kidney. And the eyes. Come. I promise we're going to pray for the others in just a minute. Hallelujah. So I speak healing to you now in the name of Jesus. I bring you life. I bring you healing tonight, my sister. The pain that goes right down your back, all the way down the back of your legs, will go right now. The spirit of death will go from you. The fever will leave you now. I set you free. I set you free now. Now, come. Let's walk. Come. Come. Go. Go. Be blessed. Hey, come on, somebody. Look at that. Jesus. God, we thank you tonight. Come. Come tell us what's happening here. Come, come, my sister. If I can get a microphone, I just want to hear. Look at this. Awesome. Tell us. Where are you from?
She's from Tanzania.
Tanzania.
Yeah, and she flew to here to Joburg on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I'm a sister in the Lord.
Yeah.
So I came with her this morning. And she came specifically for prayers today. She knew all the programs. She was actually the one who was telling us about the program. And we thank God. Right now, you know, soon before the prayers, the condition changed and she was very critical. And I think people there would witness, and I had to call my husband, to call the husband. And right now, they were praying, and really, I was getting stranded. I was actually asking her, should we go to the hospital?
Yeah.
And I really thank God for this testimony.
Yeah.
And for
hallelujah.
This. Thank
Come on,
God.
Somebody. And tell us how you feel now. Any pain? No pain?
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Woo! Awesome. Yeah.
Last year, on December, the doctor diagnosed me with kidney failure. That's why I came here, to get healed. I was vomiting, I was feeling pain, and I got diarrhea. The prophet prophesy that there is someone here with the kidney problem and the heart problem. When I come forward, he prayed for me, and suddenly all the symptoms goes away. I thank Jesus for that, and I can walk now without any assistant. Yeah. I thank Jesus.
You made all things work together for my good. Let me hear you singing. You make.
Woohoo! Hallelujah. Lord's good. You can shut it off. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Anyone enjoy that? Bless you. That's a long flight. I got to go there next week. I'm 17 hours over the water. I think you learn how to pray then, let me tell you right now, all right? Nothing but blue below you, okay? So I'm a little unorthodox, okay, so just forgive me for that. And I just believe that if healing is real, we can even do it at the beginning of the service. It doesn't matter when we do it, beginning, end. And so there's someone here tonight that the Lord wants to heal you. Well, let me just share this testimony with you. Before I came, I went to the front desk of the hotel that I'm staying at. And I was talking to the lady at the front desk. And I was just going to walk away, and I just sensed in my spirit this lady has a lot of back issues. And so I said to the woman, I said, Chris, that's her name. I said, Chris, I said, do you have some back issues? And so Chris says, I do. She says, I have scoliosis. I said, well, let me just show you something very quickly. So I took Chris aside, and I prayed for her. And I should have caught it on video on my cell phone, but she was bawling her head off. She instantly got healed. This is just an hour ago in the lobby of the hotel. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I just believe if it's real, it'll work in the church, out of the church. It'll work in Wendy's. It'll work at the Quality Inn. It'll work anywhere. Come on, right? So there's some people here tonight that the Lord wants to heal you. Now listen, in these meetings, I just try to be led by the Spirit. And so I always tell people this. Okay, on Wednesday night, we'll pray for every sick person in the building. But each night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so just because somebody's here and you have sickness, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily I'll pray for you. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying? So I'm just following the Holy Spirit and just trying to follow His leading as far as who is the Holy Spirit already ministering to before I even got up here. So even while we were in worship, just the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about people with back injuries and stuff like that. And so someone here tonight, you have a lot of issues with your back. Even a couple of ladies, you have your hips are off and it causes lots of problems. Who is that tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, stand up. Holy cow, I hit the mother load. All right, come on up here. Come on up here. And do you have something wrong? Do you have something wrong with your hips or back? Do you? Yeah, I felt you did. Come on down. I do it without even any music. We don't even need music. We had no music there in the Quality Inn lobby, so. All right. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me just say this. My goodness, we almost got the whole church up here. Also, there's a couple other people. Now, listen, just one second. There's a couple other people. You have kidney problems. That's why I showed that video. Just God spoke that to me. There's something wrong with your kidneys. Who is that? Raise your hand. Is that you? Yeah, come over here. Oh, you guys as well. Okay, just come on down here. You don't want to be with the back people. You want to be with the kidney people. It's a bad joke, but come on over here, all right? Just so I know so who to pray for. If you guys can move on. Are you guys catchers or are you? Oh, okay, you're catchers. Okay. What's wrong? What's going on? Yeah. 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 What's wrong? Right. Yeah. Do you have pain tonight in your back or your legs or what is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yep. Okay. Okay. Yeah. What's going on with you? What's wrong? Yeah. Do you? Okay. Does it hurt tonight? Okay. And then what's going on with you? Yeah. Hmm. A lot of pain tonight? Do you have a lot of pain tonight? Or not very far. Okay. Okay. What's going on with you? Yeah. A lot of pain even tonight. You too? What's going on with you? Are they? Oh. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So does it cause you problems? Now, let me just say this to you regarding healing. Now look up here. I'm going to show you your first, when you minister to people, the Bible says, don't lay hands on anyone too suddenly. This is the biggest problem with charismatic people. They're in such a hurry to lay hands that they want to slap hands and they want to get 1,100 people to do it with them. Did you ever notice in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts, you never see more than one person lay hands. Do you ever notice that? Having some microphone problems here. Never one time in the New Testament do you see two people or 22 people all lay hands on one person. Never. Never. Jesus didn't say, come on, 12 boys, come on, let's all 13 of us lay hands on blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Do you see him do that? Come on, talk to me here. No, you don't see it one time. So why do we do it and think we're going to get it to work? If the master, the trainer of disciples didn't do it, why are we doing it? Just double checking if the microphone's working still. Amen? So I found that the best way to minister healing is don't get in a big hurry, okay? And so don't get into a hurry. So sometimes I just want to find out who's got what, how they get it, and how long have they had it. And a lot of times what I'm doing is I'm waiting to see who Holy Spirit is already ministering to. So sometimes he doesn't start down there on the end and work this way. Sometimes he starts in the middle and he starts ministering to people out of our order. You know what I'm saying? Come on. But when I talked to this sister, I looked right here at her. Stand straight. All right. You notice this shoulder is lower than this shoulder. So I don't need a prophetic word to know that she's got spinal problems. Do you see that? This shoulder is visibly shorter than this shoulder. That's how I knew something was wrong with Chris there in the lobby. The exact same thing. I just felt it at first, and when she stood up, I'm like, whoa, big time. So come over here a second. Sit right here, right next to her. This pretty lady here. How are you, my sis? Good to see you. Bless you. So now, any chiropractor will do this. They'll just check and see if your hips are off. So your hips are off, you said already. You already know that, right? So does it hurt to sit a long time? Or do you have a lot of digestive problems too? Yep. And a lot of times for women, it'll affect female organs. It'll affect digestive things. It'll affect sleep. It'll affect, so with men, it's a little bit different things. So, okay. So give me your feet. I want to see. Yep. You're visibly off. Okay, just relax. I got your feet. Okay. If you want to see this, come over here and look, all right? This is going to be a good one. So she's almost a half an inch, a little bit more than a half an inch off. You see that? Okay, all I'm doing is just holding it. Okay, so just relax. I got your feet. So right now, in the name of Jesus, leg grow. There it comes. Leg grow. Hip go back into place. It's growing. Leg grow. Leg grow. You see that? It's coming out. There it is. Now it's actually going to be longer than the other one. Now you really got to pray. Yeah? Leg grow. Now left leg grow. Her left leg grow. Leg grow. Name of Jesus. All pain go. Pain in her back. Between her shoulder blades. In her hip sockets. Go back in. There it goes. It's slow, but it's moving. And now there you go. You see that? And now? Stand up. Touch your toes all the way down. All the way back up. And now? No pain? Do this. Lift your legs straight up like you're going to try to hurt your hip. No pain. Hey, awesome. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Amen. All right. Well, jump back on the white line. We're going to do this quick, and then we're going to go ahead and preach here tonight, all right? All right. So this is what I want you to do. Just put your hands on your hips. I'll pray one general prayer, and then we'll just go ahead and pray for you. Hallelujah. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every bone, over every muscle, over every tissue right now in the name of Jesus. All pain in your hips and in your back and your spine right now, I command your spine to straighten. Ooh, I got goosebumps. I command your spine to straighten right now in the name of Jesus. I command discs to rotate back into place. All the swelling in your spine, all the rheumatoid arthritis, go right now in Jesus' name. Go right now. We just take authority over all that pain in your spine. We command a creative miracle. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed. All pain go. I set you free in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now. Be healed. All pain go. All pain go. All pain go. Set you free. No more pain. Just let's walk. Come on, let's just walk. Just go for it. Yeah, all pain go. Set you free. Lift your legs up. Almost like you're going to make it hurt. Go all the way around the church. Just keep going. Come on, someone help her a little bit tonight. Come on, somebody. Hey. Come on, keep going, sis. All the way around. Fast as you can go. Keep going. Go, 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 go. Pain go right now. Pain go right now in Jesus' name. All the swelling down your legs, knees, all of that be healed right now. Just move your legs, move your back, whatever it was that was hurting, just move it when you came. In Jesus' name, all pain go right now. I set you free in Jesus' name. All the pain in your spine, in Jesus' name. All the sleep problems, all that stuff, I command a creative miracle in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Do you have high blood pressure too?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Okay. So, sleep problems. Yeah, sleep problems be healed in the name of Jesus. Yeah, and knees. We command the knees to be healed right now by God's grace. Swelling in the kneecaps. Go right now in Jesus' name. Take my hand. Do this. All the way down. All the way back up. One more time. All the way down. All the way. All the pain go. Just right now. Just move it. Just move it. And now? Is it better? Hey, come on. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Amen. My sister right now in the name of Jesus, that all pain will go out of her legs right now. I command to create a miracle right now through her legs. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is I was born with.
Yeah.
My bone break over now.
Yeah.
And then
Neuropathy. Yeah. 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 So today in the name of Jesus, we command that to be healed. Visible difference tonight. She'll feel a visible difference in her back. All the pain will go. We set her free right now by God's grace. Command my brother to be healed as well. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We command a creative miracle. Let's go down here, guys. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for already healing my sister. The reason I was talking to you before, I just saw the Lord was already healing you. And so I was just waiting for him to finish. So Holy Spirit, just lift your hands right now. All the pain that she's had all the way down her back, her neck, go. Right, the rest of it, go right now in Jesus' name. All the rest of the pain, go right now. We command a creative miracle. Just begin to move your neck, move your back, whatever it is. We command you be healed, brother, right now. In Jesus' name, a creative miracle right through your spine. Be healed, be whole. Be healed, be whole right now. In Jesus' name, my sister, right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. A creative miracle right through you both right now. Command that pain. Go. Set you free right now by the grace of Almighty God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, right now. We command a creative miracle. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing her right now. We command a creative miracle right through my brother's back as well. All pain in his back, his knees, his hips right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now. I set you free. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. All pain go. All pain go right now. Be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. I set you free right now. All pain go. We set you free by the grace of Almighty God. Thank you, Father, right now tonight. Command pain go right now from my brother right now. Set you free right now in Jesus' name. All pain go. Set you free right now. God's already touching you before I got here. So thank you, Lord. You're already healing her body. All pain. What was wrong with you tonight?
My neck sore.
Yeah, your neck. Yeah, all that pain will go now. Set you free. And now, move it. No. A little better? A lot better? Is it better?
It's better.
Is it better? Okay, it's better. Cool. Awesome. Be healed right now. All pain go. Set you free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now for a creative miracle. Back, hips as well. in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now for a creative miracle right through that part of his body.
Thank you.
All the pain right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, we thank you. Now just do what you couldn't do. Do what you couldn't do. If it was your shoulder, if it was your neck, if it was your back, just begin to move your hips, whatever it is. All pain goes. Set you free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap tonight. Bless you. And now, a little better, a lot better, what? Is it better? That's good. That's good. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. All right. Well, hallelujah. Huh? Did I miss it? Yeah. You want to try to walk? Come. Let's walk. Let's see. Let's see what God's doing. God, we thank you for healing her now. In Jesus' name, we set you free. All pain go. Command the bones to be healed. Come on, let's just try. Let's just go. Just lift that leg. That a girl. Right there in Jesus' name. That a girl. All pain go in Jesus' name. Come on, someone help her a little bit. Hey, that's good. If you couldn't walk, I'll tell you what, you'd be thrilled with this. She might take a lap around the church before the night's over here. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, all that pain, I command it to go now in Jesus' name. All pain go. Set you free in Jesus' name. There. Come on, someone help her one more time. Come on. Just walk her straight down. Come on. Keep going. That a girl? That's faith. I said, that's faith. Come on, right? Amen. Just keep going. Head up. You're a woman of God. Keep your head up. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. May you just put that thing on the wall, you know? Can I tell you? Whoa. Let there be light. And there wasn't any, all right? I'll tell you a funny story. We used to collect canes and crutches and wheelchairs all the time in our ministry from people who would walk out of them and be healed, right? And so I would fly home to Florida, and we would just nail them on the walls as ornaments in our walls. So we've got 700 of them, so we just ran out of walls, you know, and so... But I never thought about what it looked like with me getting on the airport with, you know, a slew of all of these things every week. So until we were in Toronto, and I got on the airplane in Detroit, and I had two canes under one arm, and I had two canes under one and one cane under another arm, and I had a walker. And I was waiting for them to call my row. I had my ticket, you know, and so I was waiting to get on the flight. And so I'm waiting. So I just went and I just opened it up and I'm leaning on the walker, you know. And so the lady goes, makes an announcement. If you need some extra time, you know, you can come on down the jetway. Nobody moved. I'm waiting for people. And so she goes, sir, do you need extra time? You can get on now if you would like to. I said, oh, I can go now. And she goes, sure you can. So I just picked it up and I just walked onto the airplane. And her mouth fell open, and it took me till I got halfway down the jetway did I realize, I was like, why did she look at me so crazy? I'm like, oh my gosh, she thought that something happened to me right then that I was able to do that. So, anyways, if you can't laugh in church, where can you laugh, right? All right, well, listen, before we do anything else, I want to read two scriptures. We're going to receive an offering. And then I'll share with you what I feel God's saying tonight. But just look, just for a couple minutes, just look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Hallelujah. Let's see. Oh, Proverbs 11. Maybe that's what it is. I got a new Bible here. There it is, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24. Says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one that withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. But verse 24 is a real key verse because it says, there is one who waters and yet increases more. Right? There's he who scatters, it says, and yet increases more, right? So there it is right there. There's one who scatters. Everyone say scatter. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say scatter. Increase. Okay, so that's what the scripture says there. It says there's one who scatters, yet increases more. Now, I grew up on a farm in western Minnesota. We had about 900 acres thereabouts. And I just learned that a farmer always sows his best seed because the farmer, you know, wants to receive the better harvest. Come on, is that true? Same in Indiana, is that true? Right? Okay. So a farmer always does that. That's exactly how we did it with soybeans and with, what else did we have? We had corn and we had barley and we had wheat. I think that's all we had. So, those four. But that's what we did. And we always kept the best seed to re-sow into the field to reap a harvest. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so that's such a great principle because the scripture teaches us the same thing, even monetarily, that as we give unto the Lord, we don't give to the Lord just because there's a need. We give because we love God and we know that He'll bless us back so that we can even bless more people. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, I'm not saying if you give, you know, $100 tonight, you'll get $10,000 back. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this, is that the scripture promises us that the way we measure it is the way it will be measured back to us again. Come on, somebody. Amen. I could tell you, I have proven this again and again and again in our own lives. I could tell you of one instance after another of testimonies along this lines. I play guitar and I play keyboard. And I used to always bring my guitar with me, and I'd bring it with me, and I'd back up the band, and I'd play. And I have no calluses anymore, so I couldn't do it now. But so I used to play this beautiful rosewood guitar. It's beautiful, mother of pearl inlay, beautiful guitar. And we had this revival breakout in Wisconsin, and it was supposed to be 4 days, and we ended up being there 4 weeks. And at the end of the 4 weeks, we had people all the way out in the foyer. It was just crazy. You know, God was doing some great things. And the one service I went and I was backing up the worship team. The pastor played the piano and sang. And so I was up on the stage and I'm playing my guitar, right? And so as I have my eyes shut, I'm just worshiping the Lord and I'm playing. And as I'm playing, my eyes fall on a young man in the back of the church. Now, he gave testimony earlier that he'd been free of drugs for a year. And so when my eyes fell on that young man in the back of the church, the Holy Spirit said, at the end of the service, give that young man your guitar. I mean, so I just shut my eyes and kept playing like he didn't say anything and just ignored it and I know none of you holy people would ever do that, thank the Lord, but I went into a war in my mind. I said, Lord, that young man doesn't need this guitar. I need this guitar. And as soon as I said that in my mind, the Holy Spirit said, Tom, you have a greater need to give it to scatter the seed than he does to receive it. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I went and I'm telling you, I just bought a $200 hard shell case to take with me on the airplane. I just bought it. Still had the sticker on it and everything. I'm like, oh God, you know. So the end of the service, I go to the side and I put the guitar in the guitar case. I don't know, maybe I was hoping the kid would go home or something. I don't know. So I put the guitar in the guitar case. I seal it. And everybody pretty much had left very quickly that night. And so I turn around. As I turn around, this young man is walking up to me and he goes, man, that's the most beautiful guitar I've ever seen. Man, I wanted to slap him right in the mouth. And I said, really? And I said, well, be blessed in the name of Jesus. And so I gave him the guitar and he goes, what? I don't understand. You want me to buy it? I said, no, I'm blessing you. I'm giving it to you. God wants me to give it to you. And power of God hits this young man and he starts weeping. His mother is sitting there. She witnesses this. She starts weeping. His brother, who was bound with homosexuality and couldn't get free, he was not saved. He hated the whole service. The fire of God hits him and he gets radically saved. Come on, somebody. And totally set free by the power of God because of that one offering. So I used to live in Kansas City. And so after the meetings were over 2 weeks later, I go home. And so when I went home, I went in on a Thursday night to just get refreshed in my home church. And so I said, you know, I said, I'm going to go on Thursday night, just go to the prayer meeting. And the next day we had to go and fly out to California. So I went and walked into church on that prayer meeting night. And as I walk in with my Bible and my baseball hat on, and so I walk into the church, and the secretary, she goes, oh, she says, Tom Scarella. I said, yes. She said, someone came and left you something. She says, I've never seen them before. I said, really? She said, yeah. But they don't want me to tell you who they are. I said, well, what is it? She reaches behind her desk and she pulls out a $5,000 Taylor guitar. I sewed a $500 guitar, and these people who didn't even know the story of what had happened in Wisconsin, come on somebody, went and sowed that seed back to us. Come on somebody. Amen. Come on. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. What is that? The way we scatter is the way that we'll reap. Amen. And so that's why the Bible says if you give stingily, guess how you'll reap. It's the same way. It's just a principle of the kingdom. Amen. And so there's something about that. I just wanted to share that word with you tonight. Pastor Rick, you want to receive the offering or you want me to just go for it? Okay. So tonight, do you have offering envelopes or are they on the back of the chairs or where? Oh, okay. If you need an offering envelope for your giving tonight, just raise your hands real high. And if you make out a check, you can make it out to New Life Church. Hallelujah. So do we have a couple ushers? Do you guys have a couple ushers that could help us? That'll be great. Listen, help us in our evangelistic ministry. We're getting ready to go to South Africa and all over Southern Africa. We're getting ready to do the biggest venture of faith that we've ever done with building our own Ugandan orphanage. And you can help us by sowing a sacrificial seed. So if you make out a check, you can make it to New Life. If you want to, you can use cash. If you need an offering envelope, just raise your hands at these good-looking guys. In the back, they need an offering envelope. Anyone else, you need an offering envelope? Two, three others? We'll just wait a second. Anyone else need one? All right. Hold on one second. We're gonna pray over this first before we receive it, guys. Is that all right? Is that okay that we pray over this? Let's give these people a chance to fill out their offering. Let's pray over this tonight. Father, we pray over the gift and the giver that as people sow seed tonight, Lord, I pray that you would multiply it back to them again, many fold over. Lord, I pray just like the scripture says, there's one who scatters yet increases more. And there's one that withholds and it leads to his own poverty. And so, Lord, tonight, we don't want it to lead to poverty. We want it to lead to blessings. So tonight, as we give, we just expect you to multiply it back to us again because you are a God of multiplication in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Go for it, guys. As they do this, I'll just show this to you, and then I'll just share with you for a few minutes, and we're going to pray for people, all right? So we kind of inverted the service tonight for a little bit. Forgive me. We do have some different books and stuff out on the book table. This one here is called The Jesus School of Miracles. I wrote that book all about how do you receive healing and how do you minister healing. We did a conference on the subject of how to hear God's voice. I talk about the 10 ways that God speaks. And all of that's in there. Also, we just did a conference called The New Breed, the Manifested Sons of God. We just did that here recently in Lakeland, Florida. And then we've got some praise and worship that's wild. Anyone like wild worship? And so you can get some wild worship out there. This is from a worship band that we're friends with. Actually, funny enough, out of South Africa, they just signed a deal with Jesus Cultures. So you'll really like it. So I'm going to bless my new friend over here. So be blessed. All right. So, all right. You enjoy. Okay. Well, just for a few minutes, I'm going to share something with you and then we're going to pray for you. And hopefully we don't freak you out. But I pray God wrecks you tonight. Look at your neighbor. Say, I pray God wrecks you tonight. All right. So go to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. You know what? Let's start first in Isaiah 34. We'll start in Isaiah 34. I'm going to give you a fast word workout, so just try to keep up with me. But Isaiah 34 is a scripture I love to share with churches because it helps people with understanding God's word. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to always bring your Bible. Look at your neighbor, say BYOB. Bring your own Bible. See, you thought it was something else, didn't you? But it's actually bring your own Bible. Amen. Because how many of you want God to speak to you? Anyone want God to speak to you? The number one way God speaks is through his word. So when the word is spoken, now sociologists will tell you that when someone speaks and you are not making notes, you only receive 30% of what's being spoken. Hello. If you write notes, you get about 40 to 50%. If you'll bring your Bible, you'll even receive a little more. Then if you end up even turn around and teaching it yourself, you end up with 90% of what was just taught. Come on, somebody. Amen. So that's why it's just a given fact, you know. So there's something about bringing your own Bible. Okay, so Isaiah 34, just two verses, or actually one verse. Isaiah 34 says, verse 16, search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. For my mouth has commanded it and my spirit has gathered them. Right? So here he says, search the book. Everyone say, search the book. It says, not one shall lack her mate. Now, every scripture in your Bible has got a mate. Say this with me. Every scripture has a mate. So what does that mean? What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is this, is that every scripture has got a sister scripture that will interpret the previous one. I'll give you an example. If you read Isaiah 61, and it says, Spirit of the Lord's upon me, He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, right? All of that. The sister scripture is Luke chapter 4. Jesus stood up and preached saying, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, He's anointed me, right? As you keep reading, as you read Isaiah 60, Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Deep darkness will cover the people, but His light will be shine upon you. And your gates shall be called praise, and your doors shall be open continually. Right? He keeps on going, talking about your gates, your doors, your gates, your doors. Your walls will be called this and stuff. And then you read the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and He talks about your gates, your walls, and your doors. It's the sister scripture. It interprets Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 interprets Revelation 21. So the Bible interprets the Bible. Come on, amen? That keeps it safe. Isaiah 60 is married to Revelation 21. Okay, so that's just a freebie, all right? No charge for that one tonight. Now, go over to Ezekiel 47. So Ezekiel 47 is for a few minutes, and we want to pray for you. Ezekiel 47 says, then He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Now, that's a prophetic picture of revival. Water's flowing. Everyone say, water's flowing. And then it says, for the front of the temple that faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And He brought me by the way of the north gate, right? And it says, and He led me around the outside of the outer gate that faces east, and there was water flowing, right? And He goes on to say, and there was water running out the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. Who's the man? Come on, say His name. Jesus, right? So he's seeing in this vision, he's seeing Jesus Christ, right? He's seeing waters flowing, and as the water's flowing, this man goes out and measures 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles, right? And again, verse 4, it says, he measured 1,000, he brought me through the waters, and waters came up to my knees, right? And again, it says again like 5-6 times here, and again he measured 1,000, he brought me through the waters, and it came up to my waist, and again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. Come on, right? For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed, right? And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on this side and the other. If you don't know this, when you see in your Bible trees, that speaks of people. If you have a dream and you say, man, I was in this forest of trees. What's God saying prophetically in your dream? You're amongst a bunch of people. Okay, so that's prophetically what the Holy Spirit is saying, even in your dreams. God speaks in your dreams. And so as you keep on going here, he says, there are many trees. And he said to me, this water that flows toward the eastern region goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when the waters reach the sea, its waters are healed. Now, the massive ocean usually speaks of humanity. That's what it's speaking of. The waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. And there'll be a very great multitude of fish. That speaks of conversion, salvation, right? because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over to the book of Revelation. Lord, help me marry this all together. Revelation chapter 1. Y'all okay tonight? Y'all all right? You have a good lunch? All right? So Revelation 1 says this. Verse 9. And I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. I was... What's those next three words? Underline those three words in your Bible. Underline those three words. I was, he says, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice of a trumpet. And he says, I heard, I saw, I heard, I saw. He says it again and again and again. Now, Ezekiel had a vision. Okay, I'm not going to go and preach the same thing that I did in the conference on hearing God's voice. But two of the ways that God speaks to us today in all humanity is God speaks to us in visions and God speaks to us in dreams. The oldest book in your Bible is the book of Job. The book of Job is the oldest book in your whole Bible. Genesis wasn't written first. It was written later than Job. Job was written first. So Job 33 says God speaks this way or in another way. And then he goes on to say in a vision or in a dream of the night. Now, how many of you dream at night? Raise your hand. Any dreamers? Holy cow, look at all the dreaming people. Keep your hands up. Let me see. Who dream often? Okay. Your dreams have prophetic meaning. And so God is speaking to you, and he's trying to communicate with you. And so as God is communicating with you prophetically in your dreams, he does the same thing in visions. Now, many of you are having God speak this way and you maybe don't even realize it. How many of you ever woke up in the morning and there was a song playing in your head? Raise your hand. Okay, God was speaking in the words of the song. In the words of the song, there is a phrase in there that God is speaking to your heart. Come on, somebody. And so he thought, well, he or she is talking all day long, so finally she shut up. Now I can communicate. And he waits till you sleep so that he can communicate to your spirit. Because your flesh and your soul are finally silent, right? And so when you're asleep in a dream and you wake up in the night and you go, oh, I had a dream. And your husband says, yeah, it was the lasagna last night. Go back to bed, you know? But if you wrote the dream down, you would remember it the next morning. Come on. If you wrote the dream down, you would remember it the next morning in all of its details, that it's actually God Almighty speaking to you, to your spirit man. Hello. I'll just throw this out. I don't know, even know why I'm going here, but I'll just share this for somebody. Is that the Bible says that dreams are fleeting. That's why you can have a vision 30 years ago and you can describe it today in its fulfillment. In its fullness, and you won't even forget any of it. But a dream, you'll wake up at 3:30 in the morning, you go, I had the most amazing dream. But I'll remember it in the morning. Come on, talk to me. And then how many of you forgot the dream? Come on, raise your hand, be honest. We can pray for liars otherwise. Okay. Why? Because dreams leave. Even sociologists will tell you, for every 5 minutes you wait to write the dream down, you lose 5% of the dream. It's like holding an ice cube. It's melting as you're waiting and looking at it. That's why if you read the book of Daniel, seven times it says, and I wrote the dream God spoke, and I wrote the dream, and I wrote the dream. Seven times he says it. Amen. Okay. But here Ezekiel has this dream, and Ezekiel sees the Holy Spirit being poured out in the New Testament, and he sees God Almighty measuring out, and he sees it first to the ankles, then to the knees, then to the waist. Then it was a river so deep it couldn't even be crossed. And he is prophetically seeing the hour that you live right now. And he's seeing that God is measuring the church out. So people will ask me, Tom, you've been all over the world just even this year. I mean, we've been in four or five countries this year. I've ministered in like 30 churches since January, or something like that, 30-some churches since January 1st. And so people will ask me, what's God speaking all over the world? And I'll say, you know what he's doing? This is what God's speaking, and this is what God's doing. He's measuring out. The Holy Spirit is, just like it says in Ezekiel 47, he's measuring out again. He's trying to get the church out of the flesh and in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen? Because why? Because the Holy Spirit measures out. So here's what happens is in churches all over the world is this, is that somebody has an experience with God, a genuine experience, for example, salvation. And as soon as they get salvation, they say, that's it. There's nothing more. God does nothing more in the world. Right? But that's only ankle deep. How many of you ever been into a river? I mean, a real raging river. Anyone ever stepped into a river? You ever notice that when you're ankle deep, you are very much still in control? But the farther out into the river you go, you begin to lose control. Is that true? You go out to the knees, you're like, whoa, kind of buckled my knees there for a second, right? But you're still in control. You go on out to the waist, whoa, you have to really brace yourself, but guess what? You are still in control. But once you go out past, you know, the area where you can stand, come on somebody, you've lost total control and the river's in control. Is that true? You know what? That's God's heart, is to get the church out of control. Look at your neighbor, say, would you please get out of control? So this morning we had a service where I prayed for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's only knee-deep water. That's not all of it. That's just knee-deep. Ankle-deep is salvation. Knee-deep is baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is still measuring out again. Jesus Christ is saying to the church, come on. Come on, there's a lot more out here. There's a lot more water. And the church is saying, woo, we got it all. There's nothing more. I'm up to the knees. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is it. Jesus says, no, that's not the final destination. Come on, let's keep going now. Nope, there is no more. This is it. I don't feel comfortable. My church doesn't allow it. My pastor doesn't like it. Our board doesn't like it. Our church is like a dry cleaning service, in by 11, out by 12. Three hymns, three hers, and preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and that's it. You know? Come on, somebody. Right? Total control. In control. They're only out as far as they are in control. Probably nobody in Rochester's like that, just probably other parts of America. How many of you know that's true right here in your own city? Come on, amen? And the Holy Spirit, so what is God doing this week? What in the world would possess a pastor, an evangelist, to get together to say, let's do 4 days of meetings? I mean, why would I come all the way here? I mean, wouldn't I want to go back to sunny Florida? I mean, come on, somebody. I mean, if all I wanted to do was to chill, I mean, I could just, I mean, you know, I could be there. I mean, nothing against Rochester, Indiana, but I mean, come on, somebody. I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing against it. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. So what would possess an evangelist and a pastor to get together to say, let's go for 4 days? Some people are like, my God, I haven't been to 4 days of church in a year. I can't imagine 4 days in the same week. Well, the reason is because people like that, they are in total control. And the Holy Spirit's saying, come on out. Come on out a little bit farther. Come on, get out from that ankle deep. Get out from the shore. Get out from where you're comfortable. Come on, somebody. And start to move out into the Spirit and let God stretch you out where you are not comfortable. I had one person come to me and say, well, you know, we were going to this one particular church, but we're not very comfortable there. I'm like, that's where you should be. Sounds like God. You know, I mean, you ought to be there where you're not comfortable. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, if you're comfortable, then something's wrong. Come on, right? And so the Holy Spirit is wooing the church and saying to the church, come on out from the shore and come out a little bit deeper. Now, this morning I shared a little of my own personal testimony of salvation. and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went in the ministry in 1986. And I was very clinical, very sterile pastor. You know, I mean, we were going to get people out by noon if it hair-lipped the devil and his cousin. We were going to beat the Baptists to the restaurant no matter what it took. And then I became an evangelist in 94. And so as I became an evangelist in 94, God just began to minister to me in some various different meetings. And for the first time in my life, well, not the first time, but one of the first times in my life, I really began to experience what it was to be in the Spirit. I had measures of it. I had sprinklings of it. But I never understood how it connected to my spiritual life. I always thought my spiritual life was strictly on the knowledge of the Word of God. The Word of God. Yeah, and that's a part. I believe that. I believe the Word. I love the Word. You know, a minister that doesn't use his Bible is not very good of a minister in my own mind. People, you know, John Knox was burned alive so you could have a Bible in your hands. Come on, amen? And people died so that you could have a Bible in your hands, not in your house. So there's something about that. So I love the Word and I love preaching the Word, but there's something about losing control and just letting God just move and have His way. And it's sometimes messy. It's sometimes sticky. It's sometimes crazy. But in the midst of it, God is measuring people out beyond the norm. Come on. Amen. So 94, 95, 96, I had already been 2 years in the traveling ministry. And God was just stirring me for this revival thing. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't quite understand it. And in the spring of 1996, I used to live in Tulsa. And so as I was living in Tulsa, I went and I was invited to a revival service with this evangelist friend of mine. Clint had been there and another evangelist friend of mine. And so this church had had 2 meetings a day of revival services for 6.5 weeks. Sorry. 2 meetings a day. 7 days a week for 6.5 weeks. Yeah. And so I heard about it and I'm like, I got to go. This is the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. I never heard of people going to church that much. I hadn't really until 96. And so I went there on a Wednesday night in 1996, and I went to this service, and praise and worship was good, and the evangelist got up to do the offering, and Richard Moore is who it was. And so this evangelist, now he's a friend of mine, and he'd traveled with Rodney for years. And so this friend of ours, Richard Moore, he went and he was preaching. Now, I didn't know him at the time, and he was just teaching on the offering very methodically. And as he was sharing on the offering, I felt the Spirit of God come on me. And the Spirit of God came on me. And the Holy Spirit, I began to feel like a tingling, like a warmth come on me. And I began to laugh uncontrollably. And there was nothing funny. And I'm like, I covered my mouth. I thought, God, I want it, but I can't have it now, you know. God, you can only move at the end of the service. I thought the Lord knew that. I thought He knew He had to wait to the end to move. But He didn't know that, I guess. So, and so here it is in the middle of the service. It's during the offering, and I am losing it. I'm trying to hold it together. And I'm like, I feel like a geyser. I'm like about to explode, and I'm holding my breath. And I've always just had a passion for youth and youth ministry. And so I'm sitting by this young teenage kid, you know, he and I are sitting by, he's sitting right by me. And so as he's sitting by me, I mean, the power of God jumps from me and hits him. And he had no sense. So he just went for it. And he just is laughing uncontrollably. And he got so drunk in the Holy Spirit, he slid under the pew in front of us. Now I'm done. Now I was toast at this point. Stick a fork in me, I'm done, right? And I have a loud voice by nature. And so I am laughing uncontrollably by the Holy Spirit. And I am so drunk in the Holy Spirit at this moment. I just didn't even care what people thought. And now this evangelist guy, Richard, he's got a much quieter voice. And so he had to cup the microphone like this to yell over me laughing. This is during the offering. And here I am cackling like a fool halfway back in the church, you know.
And I'm laughing uncontrollably as the joy of the Lord is just burning through me. And so finally Richard stops and goes, all right, ushers, get this man. I'm like, God, you get me thrown out of church on a Wednesday night. I didn't even do anything and I'm getting thrown out of church. You know, the ushers are coming now, you know. So the ushers come and I am so drunk, I can't stand up. And so now they're having to pick me up and carry me out into the aisle. So they bring me out in the middle of the aisle. Now the evangelist is way up on the stage and the evangelist is way up here and he's seeing this fiasco of me and my hair is all crazy and I'm laughing uncontrollably. And so he just stood there very calmly and he just looked like he was bowling. He just went fire. And when he did just like that, the power of God hit me. And I knocked all four ushers down and all four of us were laid out under the power. And now the ushers are underneath me and they can't get out and I'm laughing and I'm so drunk I can't move. And so here I am laughing harder and they're trying to get out from underneath me and all five of us are laughing our fool heads off, right? And so this thing just went like crazy. And I heard the Spirit of God say a word to me I'd never heard him say before. I heard him say this word, yield to the Spirit. Everyone say yield. I heard the Lord say that to me that night. He began to say, yield, just yield. Don't get in a hurry. Just yield. You know, sometimes when people, you know, they fall down, they look like popcorn. They fall down, poof, they're already standing back up before they even hit the ground, you know. God, you got 3 seconds to do this whole work. You got to do everything by the time I hit the ground and pop back up. That's the amount of time I'm going to give you, Lord, you know. And so, but the Lord said to me, let me finish what I started in you. Just stay there. Don't get in a hurry. Everyone say, don't get in a hurry tonight. All right. So I just stayed there under the presence of God, laying on the floor, laughing uncontrollably. And then I would start to weep and then I would start to laugh and then I'd start to weep as I was just laying there in God's presence. And what I thought was about an hour later, I kind of came out of it. And so when I did, I came to a seated position like this. And I sat up and I looked around the church and I looked at my watch. My watch said midnight. I'd been laying there laughing since 7:30 till midnight. And I look around the church. Everybody's gone. I'm like, did the rapture happen or what? I mean, what happened here? I'm looking around the church. I'm thinking I'm the only one in the church. I thought they locked me in the church or something. And I look, everybody's there. Just everybody's under the pews laughing their heads off. Now the ushers come back in. As the ushers come back in, the ushers have got, I don't know what you guys call it. I call it a dolly that you move chairs with. Is that what you call it, a dolly? And the ushers have got dollies that you move the chairs with, and they're stacking women up four high. They're running them out of the church. Just stacking them up. They just look like a sandwich, you know, just stacking them up, BLT or something, you know. And they're running the women out to their cars and they're all drunk in the spirit. One lady, her wig was half coming off and just would look crazy, you know? And now I'm just fried again. So I fall back out again and I'm laughing. One lady, God bless her, she fell out of her wheelchair. They confiscated her wheelchair and they're stacking people in the wheelchair, running those people out. And it was like an atomic bomb hit the building and just everybody was just weeping and laughing all over the church as God was just doing something he was measuring out as he was getting people to learn, come on somebody, to yield to the Spirit to step on out. Come on, amen. Everyone say yield to the Spirit. And in fact, at the end of the service, I took my keys. As I took my keys, I went and I picked my key. I walk out to my car. And I was so drunk in the Holy Spirit, I couldn't get the keys in the keyhole of the car. 12:30 at night, and I finally had to kneel down on the pavement outside, God's honest truth, to aim the key to get in the keyhole of the car. I couldn't even get in the car to get back home and stuff. But our whole ministry changed that night in April of 1996. And I started to see the same thing wherever we went, and I would just get people, just don't get in a hurry. If you gotta go, go. We love you. You don't need me to say, this is the end of the service. Don't stay here. Go home. You don't need me to say, you know when it's time to go home. Come on somebody, right? So I always like to, in our services, I say, hey, listen, stay and soak in God's presence as long as you want. I don't have to come and be laying hands on you. God can do it all by himself. Come on somebody, amen? That's why I tell people, when people are under the anointing, don't touch them.
Leave them alone. Some people pet them like they're their dog or something, you know. Pet them. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. No, they don't need to be pet like a dog, like a Labrador Retriever or something like that. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You need me to pet him like a Labrador Retriever. Oh. He said, take your hands off me. Come on. But just let God finish what he started. You know, we were up in Canada not too long before I was with you in Philadelphia. And we were ministering up there, way up in a city called Valley View, Alberta. So we're way up there. It was probably about 30 miles from the Native Indian Reservation. And so some of the natives began to come to the meetings and stuff. And there was one young girl, I'll never forget it. She was about, how old was she again? I think she was about 22. And this girl came to the meeting. Someone invited her. So she came to the meetings the first night, Sunday night, and the Holy Spirit hit that place like a bomb. And everybody was weeping and laughing all over the church. And this young girl, this young native girl, I mean, the power of God hit that girl. And I just told him, I said, go ahead, put that music on and let people just soak in the Spirit. And I prayed for people. And then I said, okay, now don't anyone touch them. Just leave the people alone. If you want to go, go. Be blessed. So this young native Indian girl, she stayed in the altar. She was laughing uncontrollably. This 22-year-old girl laughed. She laughed and rolled up the stairs. I'm like, my God, that girl rolled up the stairs. Not, she didn't roll down them. She rolled up them. I'm like, I saw it, and I don't know how it happened even. And this girl, I mean, God was just whacking this young lady. And so the pastor said to me at about, it was about 11:30, smaller church. And he said, well, what do we do with this girl? I said, lock her in the church. And she, once she gets up, she can just walk on out, you know. So we just left the music on. The next morning, we come back to the church to pray, the pastor and I did. And we got there at probably about 8 o'clock thereabouts. And there the girl was, still there on the floor, laughing uncontrollably, rolling around in the floor, weeping in the presence of God. She had been there all night long. She got up and testified, because she came to every service that week. And she got up and testified the last service. We went Sunday through a Sunday. She got up and testified, and she cried in the microphone. She said, many of you know my story. And she said, my mother committed suicide 6 years ago. And she said, I was a 16-year-old girl, and I lost my mom. My mom got drunk, and she walked out into the freeway in the interstate and was hit by an 18-wheeler. And she said, I went into a clinical depression. And she said, I tried to kill myself at least a dozen times. And she said, I was on every kind of medication you can imagine. And she said, I have not smiled or laughed in 6 years. But in just a few moments of God's power and presence, come on, somebody, God totally set that girl free of all of those years. Come on, somebody. That nothing that the counselors could do, the psychologists couldn't do it, the drugs couldn't do it, but the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Amen. In just a few minutes of the presence of God, that girl was totally set free by the glory of God. And there she was, completely transformed. And we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other testimonies very similar to it, of one after another after another. We were in San Luis Obispo, California. Where are you, Carol? Your pastor's old church, after he handed it off to this new guy, Mike Sparrow. And so we were there, and we ministered in this guy's church in San Luis Obispo, California. It's difficult to explain, but the back of the church is all glass. So the whole back is glass. It's a bigger church. It's about 300 members. And so I'm ministering, and this one guy kept coming to every service. And when I would pray for him, no matter what kind of service it was, he would fall out and start laughing. He's like, this never happened to me in my whole life. And he would fall on the floor and start laughing uncontrollably in God's presence and just weeping, and tears were coming, and he's laughing. And he's like, what's, you know, something wrong with me? I'm like, no, God's touching you, brother. So he came all week. On the last service, the last meeting, I laid hands on him. He fell out and he laid there weeping and laughing under God's presence. And he jumped up and he ran out the back of the doors. Now, it was all glass, so I could see he ran to the men's room. I thought, man, that dude had to go to the toilet. All right, so bless him, Lord. I guess when you got to go, you got to go. So I didn't think anything of it. 20 minutes later, I'm at my book table. the end of the service, some people are still in the altar just, you know, ministering to the Lord. And I'm at my book table. I'm just visiting with people. And this guy comes up behind me crying on my shoulder. I couldn't see who it was. I turn around. And here he is just crying a bucket of tears. He said, I have a tumor the size of a grapefruit in my belly, dying with stomach cancer. Never prayed for him to be healed. But the presence of God, come on somebody, knocked that thing loose. And he said, I ran to the restroom because I vomited all the cancer up in the toilet. Come on somebody. Never even prayed for healing. The Bible says wherever the river goes, it says it brings healing. Wherever the river goes, it brings healing. I want to read you another scripture. So here it says, listen, John says, listen, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But look over in Revelation chapter 4. So Revelation 4 says this. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Who was the door? Jesus Christ, right? And the first voice that I heard was like as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. And I will show you the things which must take place after this. And immediately I was, what? In the Spirit. And it says, and behold, the throne set in heaven, and he who sat on the throne. And nine times here, John begins to witness, he begins to talk about the throne, the throne, the throne, the throne, the throne, the throne, which speaks of dominion and authority. But here he says, listen, in verse 2 it says, he says, listen, immediately I was, what? He said, I was in the Spirit. So he says, listen, I was caught up in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. I wasn't in the natural. I wasn't in ankle-deep water. I wasn't in knee-deep water. But I got lost in a river that could not be crossed. Come on, somebody. Amen. I was caught in this river that could not be crossed. And he begins to say, I saw things and I heard things and I sensed things and I knew things. And why? Because he was caught up in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen. There's something about that. I mean, I could tell you of thousands of testimonies just like this, where people that were caught up in the Spirit. The one thing I never understood, here's the one thing I never understood. Everybody wants to live with God in heaven when they die. But they don't want to come to church and be with Him now in His presence. Lord, I want to live with You forever. I just don't want to be with You now. Come on, somebody. That's like saying, I want to marry you later, but I want to date everybody else now. But there's something about the presence of God that we've got a hunger for more of God's presence. I said, we've got a hunger for more of God's presence. You've got to want the presence of God, that you begin to say, Lord, I want You to do something so awesome in me this week. I want to come and I want to do whatever it takes, Lord, for You to do certain things on the inside of me. I want to be caught up in the Spirit. I want to be lost in the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. And will you put that song on, Holy Ghost, for me? I'm telling you, this is God's heart, and this is what God's speaking tonight. If you'll have a hearing ear, I promise you tonight, God will begin to stir this thing so deep inside you, your whole life will change this week. Your whole life will change. Come on, somebody. Amen. Your whole life. You'll be caught up in the realm of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen. So, yeah, go ahead. Just all... Just bring it down about halfway. Just all over the church. Just raise your hands right now. Just go ahead, turn it up, brother. Lord, tonight I pray that Jesus would measure out people in the realm of the Spirit tonight. Lord, we're hungry tonight. We're hungry for the presence of God. Just drink of God's presence tonight. Oh, Rabamba, revive me,